Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Good morning, everybody. I am happy to be here. I like going to church. You like it? You came willingly, right? Some of you going, no, she made me come. Well, I'm Bob. I live in... I'm Bob. I live in Sacramento, California. I'm a married man. I married a woman. We specify. Her name is Cindy, and Cindy and I started living together right after we got married, which we thought was a good idea to do it in this order, you know, get married and then live together. You know what I mean. That's a euphemism. And because we were living together, have children. And that's what happened. A year and nine days after we were married, we had a son, and then son number two, and then son number three, and then son number four, and then something different. It's a girl. I didn't know we made that kind. All right. I love it. I love it. I was so excited when I saw she was different than what had come before, you know? I cried for 2 days when my daughter was born because I just thought, how cool is this, you know? And yes, she's spoiled. She's spoiled. But all my kids are spoiled. I spoil them all with love and discipline because as far as I'm concerned... Love without discipline is no love at all. Amen. Right? And so my kids are doing cool stuff. My oldest son's a writer. In fact, he was, for 5 years, he was the associate editor at the Pentecostal Evangel with Hal Donaldson, and then moved back out to California to do something constructive with his life and kept writing books and just started a new church about a month ago. In fact, all my kids, I got to tell you, all my kids are surrounded by fire at this moment. My son sent a map, and I'm not even kidding you, they are surrounded by fire. One of them, it's about a half mile from their house, and so the news could be good or bad later today. We'll see, you know, but they're all doing cool stuff. He's a writer. My second son is a designer. My third son married into this missionary family by the name of Buntain, and he's in business, and then my fourth son's leading worship this morning at his church in Oxnard, California. And then my daughter, she's a newlywed, so she's worthless, you know. It's like, oh, Eric, whatever you want, dear. It's your world. Yeah, she'll get over it. You did, right? And they're all married and breeding. I think we're part rabbit. I don't know. Because we now have 21 little Kilpatricks, and number 22 is on the way in March, and I'm excited because it'll even it up again. It'll be 11 boys and 11 girls, and I like symmetry, you know. Yeah. And when my grandkids turn 12, that qualifies them to go with me somewhere around the world and see what God is doing. I think of it as holy tourism because I want my kids and my grandkids both not just to see the world, but to see God at work in the world. And see what he's doing. You guys just got back from El Salvador. You had firsthand visit, you know, to see what God is doing. First grandson went with me to Italy. We did worship seminars and concerts over there, and they expected 30 or 40 people to come out. We had 700 show up. It's one of those crazy things. You know, the piazzas were full. The mayor of Naples requested a meeting, gave us the use of the sports arena in town there. It was just a crazy thing. He came and opened it up. We set up a huge stage, and 70,000 people showed up to hear about Jesus. It's like, how did I get here, you know? How did this happen? It was just like so unexpected. It was very cool. And then second grandchild, a daughter, granddaughter, went with us to Ecuador, and same thing down there, worship concerts and church services and working in the barrios and just wonderful to see what God's doing. Third and fourth went with me to Malaysia and China. And first visit to China, they borrowed my guitar, my two grandsons, so they could lead worship before I got up. And I was back here going to back them up on bass, you know. And they go, "You ready?" I said, "Yeah." "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." They start singing, and I started crying. I'm back here, I'm supposed to be just holding down the bottom end, you know. And I just started bawling. Men, when they cry, they can't look cool. Yep. Women look cool. I mean, they go, and tears. But men, you know, it's like, we lose control. And I call it messy crying because everything on your face leaks, you know how that is. And that's what happened to me, messy crying, because I'm just thinking, how cool is this? My grandsons are leading worship in Shanghai, China. Yeah. Is that cool or what? And then number 5 and 6 went with me to Indonesia, and we saw miracles there. I mean, miracles. People, of course, with their broken hearts bound up and with putting in back into their right minds, but also broken bodies completely and instantaneously healed. I love it. I love it. I've had the privilege of doing a lot of things in my life. I'm kind of an experienced addict. I just want to try anything twice if it doesn't hurt too much, you know. I just, you know, bungee jump from 150-foot crane and down in Florida, you know, seaplane up in Alaska. It's just like, I just want to do it. If you say, "Would you like to," I will go, "Yes. Yes, I want to do that." In fact, if any of you can get me a ride on a crop duster, please see me afterwards. That's one of my things. I just want to go up in a crop duster. So if you can help me, see me afterwards. So I've got to write books and make albums and write songs and produce albums for other people. I was on K-Love Radio. They carried a devotional of mine for 28 years, you know. And I'm excited. I get to do a bunch of stuff. To me, life is kind of an adventure, you know. And you just try everything you can until you... till you die, you know. I want to go out at full speed. I don't want to peter away. I want to, you know, that's the way I want it to end. So, but you know what? Nobody's going to remember any of that stuff. It doesn't matter to anybody but me. Right. Nobody's going to remember any of that. You know what I'm going to be remembered for? Should anyone care to mark my passing, I'm going to be remembered for 5 notes, 7 words, and the simplest of prayers. It says, "In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified." You know what? In my singing life, Lord, be glorified today. Let me hear you sing it by yourself. Say, what's always remarkable to me about this when I hear people sing this song. First off, I just never get tired of it. I just never get tired of it. I was at this, doing a concert. Actually, I think this happened in Ohio. And this music business guy was with me. And I don't remember why he was there. I don't even remember who it was. And I'm not in the music business. I'm in the music ministry. And there's a difference. But sometimes you rub up against the music business because you have to, you know. And this guy was with me, and this lady came up, and she said, "I love your song. I got saved singing your song." And I like to hear stories like that. That's really encouraging. Elton John's guitar player got saved singing this song. And so I just love hearing this stuff, you know. And she went away, and she was crying, and I started crying, and I gave her a hug. I said, "Thank you so much for telling me your story," you know. And she walked away, and the music business guy, he looks at me and goes, "Doesn't that get old?" And I said, "No, and I don't want to ever be you." I don't want it ever to get old, or I don't want to ever get cynical about what God does in people's lives. It's always new. It's always a sunrise. The most amazing part to me is this. I never meant for you to hear this song. I actually... this... every day it just stuns me. I wrote this song intending that my wife and me would be the only two people who would ever hear this song or sing this song. I wrote it as a backstage prayer. My wife was traveling with me at the time singing. And I just thought, I'd like a little song that we can kind of twine our voices together and sort of dedicate ourselves to God and what he's doing in us, you know, and what the ministry we're just about to do. And it was my wife. She came into the room and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm writing this little song for you and me, and we're not going to sing this one publicly." And I sang it for her. She goes, "Oh, no, no, you need to sing that song." And I said, "No, no, no, you don't understand. This is just for us, you know." And she said, "No, no, no, you don't understand. That song is a gift from God to his people, and if you don't sing it, you're going to have to answer." Like she pulled the big guns out on me, you know. But she was right. I did sing the song, and the Lord took the song and gave it away to his people all over the world. South America, we sing, "En mi vida, gloria te doy, Señor." In Russia, we sing, "Zhizni nashe bud vas valyon gaspodje." In Australia, we sing, "In my life, Lord be glorified, mate." So I wasn't going to do this, but now I am. I'm just going to have a little bit fun. So years ago, a friend of mine was standing next to me, and he goes, at this end of this concert, he goes, "You know, that song sounds like you wrote it. It's got your style." And I thought, it's true. It does sound like I wrote it. What would this song have sounded like if somebody else had written it? And I came up with a couple of ideas. This is what I think "Lord Be Glorified" might have sounded like if Frank Sinatra had written it. One, two, one, two, three, well, in my life, Lord, I say, be glorified, baby. Be glorified, well, in my life, Lord. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified today. Or if Elvis had written, "Lord, be glorified." In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. Or if the Beatles had written, "Lord, be glorified." One, two, three. In my life, Lord, be glorified today, be glorified today. Or, if Willie had wrote it, "Lord be glorified, just can't wait to sing, Lord be glorified, in my life, Lord be glorified today, I can't wait to sing, Lord be glorified." Oh yeah. Oh boy. Well, maybe we should cleanse our palates and sing it the original way, just so we remember it properly the next time we want to pray this little musical prayer. So again, if you know it, sing it with me. And if you don't, jump in when you can. It's pretty easy. Five notes, seven words. In my life. In my life, Lord, be time by yourself, say it. In my life, Lord, I will glorify you. In my life, Lord, I will glorify. I love it. I was producing an album for some friends of mine named Phil Keggy and Randy Stonehill. And they wanted to use a song I'd written, but they kept teasing me about how much like the Beatles it sounded. And I just have to admit, every song I write kind of sounds like the Beatles wrote it and didn't like it and threw it away, and I just went dumpster diving outside their house, I just sort of write Beatle leftovers. But if you know Phil and Randy, they're kind of like the John and Paul of Christian music. So it was a good fit for them, but it's also a good fit for us this morning. And the message is simple. God doesn't promise that we'll always have pleasant paths or wonderful weather. What he promises is that no matter the path or the weather, we'll always have him. When you're in the valley of despair, feels as though you always will be there. Let your heart be strong, though the road is long, there's a way to go. For soon enough the path will start to rise, to mountains high and clear and sunny skies. The way will take you high, the way will take you low. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes sometimes. Things are going to work out fine. Rain will fall and then sun will shine again. That's the way it goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when the raging waters rush your way, and it feels like you won't last another day, let your heart be brave. The calming of the waves is nearer than you know. Oh, oh, oh. For stormy days will be a distant dream. La, 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 la. Floating in a still and quiet stream. The river will run fast, the river will run slow, 'cause that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes sometimes. Things are going to work out fine. Rain will fall and then sun will shine again. That's the way it goes. Life's a mystery, and we don't always see God's hand. But he's the Lord of love and wonder. One day we will understand. Yeah, yeah. That's the way it goes sometimes. Things are going to work out fine. Rain will fall and then sun will shine again. That's the way it goes sometimes. Things are going to work out fine. Rain will fall and then sun will shine again. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. When I first wrote that song, the message of it was actually reverse what it is now. Here's how it went. That's the way it goes sometimes. Things don't always work out fine. The sun will shine and then what? The rain will fall again, because that's the way it goes. I was having a bad day. It's true. I was actually lived in Redding, California at the time, and I was driving home, and I write a lot when I drive, and I don't know what set me off, but something just got me, and I was griping at God and other drivers and pedestrians and dogs and cats. I mean, it's like, you got in my way. Ah! I got home, and I sang it for my wife. That's the way it goes. Things don't always work out fine, and she went, cheerful. So I changed it. But life is still weird, isn't it? Hard to understand. I mean, can you explain to me hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, giraffes? Life is absurd. Life doesn't make any sense. We want it to make sense, and it doesn't. We want to understand, and we can't. It's just absurd. Now, some Christians get a little tense when I talk like this because they think that, you know, they know God, so they should understand everything that's going on in their lives. And I just have a question for you. Do you? Because I don't. I don't understand what's up. My kids are surrounded by fire. I don't get it. Life is absurd. Unless you think I'm being a heretic, let's back it up with some scripture. Let's just go for one, the Big Mama. This is the one we put on bookmarks and coffee cups and, you know, memorize in Sunday school and stuff. It's Proverbs 3:5. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean what? Lean not on your own understanding. Don't you think that if you could understand, it would say lean hard on your own understanding, or try to get more understanding? But you know what he's telling you here? Your understanding is not going to prop you up every time you want it to. Here's what G.K. Chesterton said. The trouble with life is that it almost makes sense. See, we want it to make sense and it doesn't. A few years ago, my nephew Matt, 20 years old, died of leukemia. He was going to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries up in Redding, California. That's our home church. And they were with him every day, praying for healing, worshiping with him. He's a great kid, 20 years old. Loved God. Died of leukemia. Matt's dad, my brother-in-law, Jeff, my best friend, not just my brother-in-law, my best friend, racquetball. I led Jeff to the Lord when he was 18 years old. He moved out from Indiana, terrible lifestyle. Moved in. I was on staff at Bethel at the time, and he moved in with us and get his life straightened out. He did. He met a young girl at our church that he wanted to marry, and I was newly ordained into the ministry, and he asked me to perform the ceremony. And it was so weird because it felt like dress-up day at school. You know, we were so young. I had hair. I mean, that's how young I was, you know. And it just, it felt like, is this really going to work? I mean, are we professionals? Are we adults yet, you know? And I'm going, will you, do you, I now pronounce you, you may kiss the bride. And it took, you know? And, I mean, the marriage. And then they started having kids. And we kept having kids. And we raised our kids together because Jeff and I weren't just brothers-in-law. We're best friends. And now we're burying Jeff's son. 17 months later, we were burying Jeff. He died of cancer of the esophagus. In less than a year and a half, my sister-in-law lost her son and her husband. You got data for this? Do you have some kind of equation you can work out on the board and go, oh, okay, so that's why Matt and Jeff had to die? Oh, see, life doesn't work like that. Life is not an equation a problem you can solve. In fact, L.P. Jacks, speaking at Oxford University, said, problem, solution, and happiness, these three words are never used in the Bible, but this is how we describe most of our Christian experience. I had a problem, I found the solution, now I'm happy. You have a problem, if you find the solution, you'll be happy. But life is not static like a math problem, it's dynamic. God's not trying to solve you. He's trying to display you. I actually told my sister-in-law's story in this book because Shelley, my sister-in-law, she never asked why. She asked what. She didn't say, why, God, did you do this to me? She said, what, God, can you make of this? I said, Shelley, can I tell your story? That's just too good. She let God in, and she let him make our art out of the found pieces of her life. So I got to tell her story in this book, and a lot of other stories too. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a book nerd. I can't do the Kindle because it smells like plastic, you know? It's like I don't know, man, I'm a real nerd. I love the smell of books. I just love everything about, I get lost in bookstores, you know, especially used bookstores. I just love them, yeah. So other book nerds here, you know what I'm talking about. So to get to write a book, do you know what this is? This is a book nerd's dream. I'm living the book nerd dream. And it's from a major publisher. It's from Zondervan. And it first came out in hardback. It's like, I'm telling you this because this is one of the coolest things that ever happened to me. I got to write a book. I thought that was so fun, so remarkable. And I worked on it for 2.5 years. I gave everything I had to it. And I told a lot of stories about Shelley and Jeff and my dad and my early life in ministry. And I was so excited. We got very close to it coming out. I gave him my cell number. And I said, would you call me the moment the books come in, wherever I am, I want to come down and I want to open the first box and I'm going to hold the first book in my hands. You know, I'm a nerd. And so they did. I gave my cell number and they called me. I had left my lunch on the table at home and I had raced down to the Sutter General Hospital emergency room to the bedside of my brother, who at the age of 49 had a massive stroke and died. I'm standing next to his bed, my only brother. Everybody left the room, just the two of us there. And while I'm standing there, my phone rang. Your books are here. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? It's like one of the coolest things and one of the uncoolest things to ever happen to me happened in the same moment. Life is absurd. We're always trying to make sense out of life and God is not helping. What are you doing to me? None of your business. What's going on? I'm not telling. Why is this happening? That's the hardest one. I have, like Job, demanded that God come down and explain himself to me. And he says, and you are who? Exactly that you should command me? There's a reason for this. God's not toying with you. God's an artist. All through the Bible, the image of art and making art and creativity is the theme of the character of God. I mean, what is our first introduction? How are we introduced to him in the Bible? In the beginning, God conquered. No, in the beginning, God dictated. No, he decreed, he ruled. No, he created. He made something out of nothing. He had an idea, and he expressed it, and it became a reality. Wow. God is a creator, a maker, an artist. And I love that one in Isaiah. It calls him the potter with the clay. You know, this is very visceral, because you can't stay clean when you work with clay. You got to get your hands in there, you know. And here God is forming and shaping us. He's not making toilets here. He's trying to make something beautiful and good out of our lives. And if we knew what he was doing, we might, you know, push his hands away. Don't touch me there. I like that about myself. Or we might try to negotiate. You could use that about me. Or even worse, we might try to help him. Oh, I see where you're going with this. That's a good idea. You know, I'm pretty good at this myself, so I'm going to give you a break, and I'm going to continue your work for you. And you know what God says to us? I don't want your fingerprints in the clay. I got to say that again. I don't want your fingerprints in the clay. I want my fingerprints in the clay. Contrary to a lot of the gospel you hear in America, Christianity is not a self-help program with Jesus thrown in. This is an anti-self-help program. This is God doing for you what you already know you cannot do for yourself. We've tried to make ourselves better people, haven't we? You know what? God doesn't want you to be better. He wants you dead. And resurrected. The only way you get to resurrection is by death. You can't be resurrected from a headache or from a cold or an illness or a surgery or even a near-death experience. The only way you can get resurrected is to 100% die. You can't get close. If you got close, you just got better. But God's not interested in better. He doesn't make things better. He makes things new.
Amen.
If any man, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. All things, all the old things have passed away. And everything's become new. God wants to make you new. He doesn't need your help. You know what he wants from you? He wants surrender. Just throw your hands up in the air. God says, let me have full and complete access to the materials of my art. That's what I want, which is your life. That's what God's asking us for. So why did I tell you this? My story's not that remarkable. People have had greater losses, bigger tragedies. I'm telling you this because I just want to remind you of this thing. This happens to everybody. Everybody's got loss. Everybody has pain. Everybody hurts somewhere. We all do, you and me. And to remind you of this, that no matter how dark the days, how bleak the outlook, God is good. I wrote this song while we were losing Matt. It began a season of death in our lives, and I just needed this reminder. So I wrote this, and I put myself to sleep singing this song every night for several years before I ever sang it publicly. It was a great comfort to me, and maybe today is one of those dark days for you, and you need a reminder. So this song's for you. God is good. God is good. All the plans he has for us are good. God is good. Always good. We could trust his love for us, for God is good. God is good. Plans he has for us are good. God is good, always good. We can trust his love for us, for God is good. He made the mountains, you say, God is good. He made the valleys, you say, God is good. All through the ages, God is good. He never changes, God is good. So remember, God is good. God is good, yeah. All the plans he has for us are good. God is good, always good. Trust his love for us, for God is good. He makes the sun shine, God is good. And he makes the thunder, God is good. In all the bright times, God is good. And even through the very, very dark times, always remember and never forget that God is good. God is good.
plans he has for us are good. God is good. God is good. Always good. Always good. We can trust his love for us, for God is good. We can trust his love for us, for God is good. We can trust his love for us, for God is good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. God is good. He's not bad. God's for you. He is not against you. He's your friend. He's not your enemy. Maybe you should, you know, tack this up on your fridge or put on your desktop or tattoo it on your forearm, you know, something. Just to remind yourself every day that God is good. Because you know what? There are a lot of voices telling you otherwise. Our culture has become very antagonistic to the message of the love of Jesus Christ. And they're telling you God is bad, Jesus is bad, Christianity is bad, Christians are bad, you are bad. Those are lies. Those are lies. You need at least one voice, even if it's your own voice, reminding you of the truth that God is good and he's the hope of the world. There is nothing else. He is the hope of the world. God is good. One more song for you this morning. It's a song about death, just to kind of lighten up the mood. It actually is. It's a song I wrote after my father passed away. Suddenly, and his story's in the book too. My dad was an orphan. And you know, you're an orphan all your life, really. But something happened in my dad's life to change that. He had a significant encounter, one of those mystical encounters with God on Christmas Day. So changed his life. He had a vision. My dad was a Southern Baptist. Baptists don't have visions. But he had one. I guess God's not Southern Baptist. I don't know. But my dad had a vision, changed his life. He also came out of that vision speaking in a prayer language he'd never learned. And he was healed of degenerative arthritis, all three in the same moment. Wow. You know? It was pretty incredible. He was slated for surgery to fuse his spine, never had it because he never needed it the rest of his life. And I was kind of slipstreaming behind him because I always had a voice I could turn to, you know, someone I could say, Dad, what about this? So when he died unexpectedly, you know, talk with him in the morning. Dad, I love you so much. Son, I love you too. I'm so proud of you. Talk to you later. Hung up the phone, boom. That's the last time I ever talked to him. I miss him. And I was missing him a lot. And I started thinking about heaven, you know. I started doing rapture practice, you know. Just trying to kickstart the thing, you know. And so I was all alone in this little cabin up in Rocky Mountain House, Alberta, Canada. I'm speaking at this thing, go back to my cabin and cry. I miss my dad. I wrote this song, a song about heaven, and dedicated to my father. And I gave it a Scottish feel because we are the Kilpatrick family of the Calhoun clan of the Scots. Okay. I've been to Scotland recently several times. I got to say something. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean over there 24/7. I mean, these people, when they say yes, they go, aye. It's true. I'm always looking for a peg leg and a parrot. It's like Jack Sparrow, I think, is what you mean. But those are my people. And so I gave this song a Scottish feel, and I gave you a part in the chorus of the song. And your part goes like this. Hey-ho, hey-ho. And just in case you have trouble remembering your part, we... Yeah, I know it's tough, you know. Sing it with me. We go. Hey-ho, hey-ho. Okay, this morning, you are an honorary member of the Kilpatrick family, of the Kowloon clan, of the Scots, which means you've got to sing like a Scot. Scots don't sing softly. They don't go, hey, ho, and then hey, you know, ho. They sing with gusto. You got to sing with gusto this morning. And generally, a Scot is never, ever just singing. But as he's singing, he's hoisting his cup of tea. I don't know what you were thinking. So I want you all to get your teacups out with me. Go ahead. Do this. Come on, everybody. Nobody's too spiritual or too cool, too young or too old. And as you wave your teacup back and forth, you'll sing, hey, ho. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Okay, so I will cue you for your part by pointing. There is no other cue, all right? It's not when I arch my eyebrows or twitch my elbow or do anything with the neck of my guitar. And I'm telling you this because people have seen me do that or this or that. Like, that's the sign. Hey! And then they're embarrassed because they're in the wrong spot, okay? I don't want you to be embarrassed. It's not that, this, or this. It's just this. But when I do that, don't be shy. Get your teacup out, or whatever it is your doctrine allows, and sing. Sing as loud as you dare, because it's your way of agreeing, saying amen to what I'm singing in this song. This is for my dad. My father is there. Sometimes I long to slip away, to join the ones who've departed, the mighty cloud of witnesses bears silent testimony. When I shall join the ranks of them, I'll worship Jesus only. One of these days we'll all be home. Say hey-ho, hey-ho. Over the hills no more to roam. Say hey-ho, hey. Our sorrow and our sadness will turn to joy and gladness. One of these days we'll all homes, hey, oh, hey, oh. The powers of earth and all that glitters and glimmers will darken our hearts, will weaken our hope, but we must always remember that we will shed this thin mortality, and we will slip beyond the veil. The darkened mirror laid aside, and face to face we'll hail him. One of these days we'll all be home, say hey, ho. The hills no more to roam, say hey, oh, hey. Yes, our sorrow and all of our sadness will turn to joy and gladness. One of these days we'll all be home, say hey, oh, hey. Sing it again, say hey, oh. One more time and hold it. Hey, oh, hey, hey, ho. Woo. Ow. Oh, yeah. Let's see if we can get that to stay down there. One of these days. I love that. You guys are loud. I like that. One of these days. We'll all be home. You are going home with us, aren't you? Here's another question for you. Are you at peace with God today? Because if you aren't, why aren't you? I can't think of any reason why you should be at war with him when he wants to be at peace with you. So why not make your peace? You may be going, Bob, I want to do that. I have no idea what to do. Pray. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've done that. I'm not sure I know what to pray. Let me give you a prayer, okay? This is what you pray. Yes. Jesus, yes. That'll work. That'll work. Look, you don't have to get your theology right. You don't have to come down the right aisle to the right place while we're singing the right song and pray the right little prayer. Get the person right. We're talking about Jesus. This is not Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Ramtha, Krishna, Muhammad. We're talking about Jesus. And if you'll say yes to him, he will say yes to you. It's remarkable. And after you say yes, find Pastor Kevin and say, I said yes, now what do I do? You know why he's here? To walk with you while you walk with God. Let him do what God made him for, okay? Amen. I want to tell you one last thing before I sing a little benediction. Is that there are books and CDs out there. And you should go out and you should buy them. All of them. You'll like them. If you don't, send them back to me. I won't send your money back or anything. I just want them back. I'm just... No, we will. I'll refund your money. But I already told you about this book. I think you should get it. And there's another little book, if you don't mind having your world rocked. It's called Secrets of the Silence, The Power of Praying Without Words. God wants to turn your prayer time from a monologue to a dialogue. And if there is no silence in your prayer time, then there's not a conversation, you know? But God wants to talk. In the beginning was the Word. He's an expressive being. Psalm 81, 13, oh, that my people would listen to me. First secret of the silence is it's for listening, because if you listen, God will talk. So this is a 21-day journey into learning to incorporate silence into your prayer, learning to listen. And there are a couple of CDs that go along with that that are kind of ambient prayer music. One has the sound of rain with an hour of nonstop music. It's musical nothingness, I call it, because it just lays there. But it's a good backdrop for you. I'd made this for myself working in my office. I don't like to have voices and stuff, you know. So it's that one has the sound of rain with the music. This one has the sound of ocean. It's called Deep. If you just want the worship songs, you can get that on this album. We put them all together. God is Good is on there. In My Life, Lord Be Glorified. Here Am I, Send Me to the Nations as an Ambassador for You. On there, some others like that. Favorites, Live, you get the Sinatra, Elvis, and Beatles versions of Lord Be Glorified on that. My weird artsy songs. And then this one you need to stay away from because it's rock and roll. It's loud and fast. It sounds like the Beatles and U2 made this album with Peter Gabriel and Ravi Shankar. But it's my favorite album I've ever done, but it is rock and roll. And then there's the Christmas CD. And if you get one of everything, I just added this up yesterday on the plane flying out here. If you get one of everything, it's like less than half price for everything. It's pretty cool. And there are also download cards. If you don't do CD players anymore, you can buy the download cards, about a third of the price of iTunes. And you can use plastic, even cash, back there in checks. Okay? Can I bless you this morning with a benediction? Thanks for letting me share with you this morning. Would you lift your hands with your palms open and empty? Lift your face. Smile heavenward. Receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine down upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. Amen. Pastor Kevin.
So you guys just got a piece of my childhood here, so there we go. A few other people's childhood, maybe? All right, well, years and years ago. Well, it's a privilege to have John with us and drop by and see his stuff out there, buy some stuff if you need to, and pray that God bless you today. Would you stand with me and let's do the big adios? How about that, huh? Thanks, Lord, for that benediction you just gave us. And I pray that God's peace would rest upon each person as we leave this place today. And let us quit trying to figure you out all the time and accept you as Lord. Thanks. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.